You're listening to the top stories of 2016 on WFHB.
We bring you the most significant stories of the year
as they were reported by your friends and neighbors.
The face of Bloomington continues to transform.
While local residents fight to save parts of the city they love,
local people join protests near and far
as Hoosiers help elect Republicans across state and federal governments.
From local to state to national news,
WFHB brought you the stories affecting our community.
Here are the top stories of 2016 on WFHB.
Welcome to the top stories of 2016. For WFHB, I'm Joe Crawford. Today is number one on our countdown, What's Wrong with Downtown Bloomington? We're taking a look back at the many ways Bloomington officials and residents have talked about and acted on issues in the downtown area during the past 12 months. Depending on who's talking, there can be a long list of complaints about downtown Bloomington. Alcohol, drugs, aggressive behavior, panhandling, and insufficient resources to deal with problems like homelessness and addiction. Those were all concerns identified recently by a committee formed by Mayor John Hamilton. Some residents say they feel unsafe downtown, and some business owners have complained that the situation is hurting their bottom lines. Of course, not all residents feel that way, and those that do direct their concerns at various populations. Over the past few years, WFHB reporters have spoken with people downtown who were worried about drunk bar patrons and rowdy college students. Some have also had problems with people who panhandle on the sidewalk. Others have problems with police officers who patrol downtown. And of course, others get frustrated with the traffic and occasional bad drivers. This is a case where not only is there trouble deciding what to do about the problems, there's widespread disagreement about what the problems actually are. With that said, Mayor John Hamilton set out to take action this August based on his understanding of the problems. This is audio from a press conference held on August 10th, just a few days before Welcome Week at Indiana University. Hamilton made his statements outside the Monroe County Public Library.
Our public spaces must be and must feel safe. Our community quality of life is grounded in, depends upon, physical safety, both real and perceived. I have parks employees who feel the need for police support as they go about their work in some downtown parks. We have a growing number of individuals who seek to make their living panhandling in our community. We have dramatic evidence of greater use and abuse of illegal drugs, from discarded needles to overdoses to serious behavioral problems. As we have thousands of new residents joining our community each year, and often their families visiting, our downtown gateway at times is not as welcoming and civil a place as we desire it to be. I'd like to announce today several additional steps we're taking. First, I have asked our Community and Family Resources Department, led by Beverly Callender Anderson, to engage the Community and Justice Mediation Center, known as CJAM, to help our community work together on this challenge. CJAM has established the Downtown Safety and Civility Dialogue and Deliberation Project with a steering committee which will gather data, interview stakeholders, map concerns, interests, and resources, and identify systems and change points, concluding with a report, final report of findings and recommendations by the end of this calendar year. Second, at the recommendation of the police department, I have approved installing 6 surveillance cameras in 4 areas identified as high incident locations, specifically Seminary Park, People's Park, the north end of the Beeline Trail, 3 cameras due to the curve there, and the Beeline south of Kroger's. These cameras will be a pilot effort. They will not be monitored live, but it is intended they will prove a deterrent and also a tool for law enforcement if needed. Third, I have asked Chief Dekoff to implement an enhanced presence of law enforcement officers in the downtown area, also as a pilot effort. This increased presence will include traditional policing, as well as our downtown resource officers, DROs, or white shirts, and our parking officers, now in uniform. Fourth, I have asked Chief Dekoff to assure that we are appropriately enforcing the existing state statutes relating to panhandling, which include, among other things, prohibitions against panhandling between dusk and dawn, any touching, no soliciting at a bus stop, at a vehicle, at a facility of public transportation, a stopped motor vehicle, in the sidewalk dining area of a restaurant, within 20 feet of a bank or an ATM, or standing in line, and others. Details are listed on our website at bloomingtonin.gov under panhandling. Fifth, in collaboration with the university and social service providers, including the United Way, we will be establishing a public information campaign to encourage residents who want to help those in need, and I encourage that, to contribute to social services agencies providing services rather than directly on the street. Finally, I have directed Paula McDevitt and our Parks Department to continue planned programming in People's Park and to consider any additional programming appropriate for the downtown parks that could facilitate increased safety and civility downtown.
That was Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton speaking at a press conference on August 10th. After that statement, the mayor was joined by Bloomington Police Chief Michael Dekoff to take questions from the press. Up next is a report I put together for the Daily Local News later that day.
This was all recorded outside with a single microphone, and frankly, the sound is not very good. My apologies for that. So I'll just tell you that the first question was myself asking about how we can know definitively with documentation that the number of panhandlers in Bloomington is, as the mayor said, growing.
You know, I'll let others mention documentation. I think I've talked to a lot of people, and I think many of you have been very aware over the last even 12 months, but certainly we see more activity in that way, and it's something we need to address. Certainly data and measurement will be part of that, and if others want to add that, they can, but we know there's been an increase in that activity, not only downtown, but in the community as a whole.
After that, I asked the mayor again, how do we actually know that the number of panhandlers is growing?
By witnessing it.
I went on to ask the mayor who had witnessed it and how they documented that in a way so we could compare, say, this year to last year versus any year prior. He passed that question to the police chief, Michael Dekoff, who also did not give any numbers.
We've seen an increase this summer, especially in the number of panhandling complaints that we get. We've actually seen an increase this summer in just the number of overall people that are hanging out more on Kirkwood. And that's something that we have discussed with our downtown resource officers and the advisory committee that meets monthly on that. Those social service agencies are also seeing an increase in panhandling type calls and people needing services. So it's not illegal to panhandle, but it's illegal to panhandle a certain way and in certain areas. So that's something that we're going to step up enforcement of.
Last summer, there was also a lot of attention to petty crime in the Kirkwood Avenue area. And at that time, there was a community meeting held at Nick's English Hut. I reminded Chief Dekoff of his words at that meeting when he said that we could not, quote, arrest ourselves out of this problem. I asked if this new announcement to increase surveillance and step up law enforcement was a departure from that philosophy. After that, I also asked a couple of other questions, and we'll play those now, too.
No, it's not. I don't think we can arrest ourselves out of this problem. It is more than just people breaking the law. As the mayor stated, there's a lot of issues with poverty. It doesn't take anyone to walk downtown to see there are lots of people that have mental health issues and addictions issues. The police department can't solve this by ourselves. So that's why a comprehensive approach to this, I think, is what is needed. And that is something that I have said forever. And I think that Mayor Hamilton is also supporting that the city can't solve this problem by itself. We have to have community partners that help us do that. So that's what this is about.
A lot of folks who are homeless in Bloomington have been arrested many times before. Is there any concern that further arresting people who are either homeless or who are panhandling will just encourage a cycle of poverty?
I would take issue with what you say, because we have, for a couple of years, really focused on not making arrests for people who are homeless. We don't arrest people who are homeless. We arrest people who break the law and do things that it's a behavior thing. And so when we started our downtown resource officer program, it was to change the way we do things. We have many, many social service agencies that are partners with us. We have the Shalom Centers that has a street social worker that goes out with our officers to try to help people. And so I take issue with that statement. I don't think that that's correct. And I don't see that what we're doing is going to increase the number of arrests for people who are homeless.
So the surveillance cameras and the increased enforcement of panhandling laws should not increase the number of arrests?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we have had complaints of drug dealing in our parks. So the cameras can be used to monitor that. We've had assaults that have happened in our parks. Cameras can monitor that situation so that we can identify these people who are involved in those activities and try to stop that type of behavior. We're all about stopping the illegal behavior, is what we're about, so that everybody feels safe.
That was a report from August 10th. You're listening to the top stories of 2016 on WFHB, and we're at number one on our countdown. What's wrong with downtown Bloomington? We're taking a look back at the many ways Bloomington officials and residents have talked about and acted on issues in the downtown area during the past 12 months. There are a lot of different kinds of complaints about downtown, and after his announcement, Mayor John Hamilton faced criticism for focusing a lot of the city's efforts at some of its most vulnerable residents. After his announcement, WFHB spoke with regular visitors to Seminary Park. This next story ran on August 11th. It's read by anchor Ryan Stacey.
Regular visitors to Seminary Park voiced dissent this afternoon following Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton's announcement that a police surveillance camera would be installed there. Hamilton announced yesterday that cameras would be installed at Seminary Park, People's Park, and along the Beeline Trail. Hamilton says the goal is preventing crime and arresting offenders. Seminary Park has a large group of regular patrons, many of whom visit there almost every day, and some of whom say they occasionally sleep there. This afternoon, there were about 40 people in the park. One man who declined to give his name said he visits the park every day, and he sees no need for video surveillance.
I think it's a bunch of crap because, I mean, come on, man, most of these people down here is homeless. This is their only damn enjoyment they got. And whether it's crime, what's going on, to most of these people, this is their damn home. Nobody wants their home with a camera in it. This is these people's life, man. You know, I mean, why in the hell are they going to put cameras here to interrupt what most of these people consider their home, their salvation? This is where they come to get their little relaxation. They put a damn camera down here, they ain't going to do them a cause problem. They were worried about the wrong thing.
Others at the park this afternoon said that police already interact regularly with visitors there and they already feel surveilled. One man said, quote, "They know everything here already. Everyone's on paperwork," unquote.
That story ran on the Daily Local News on August 11th. Later that week, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, Voices in the Street, hit the streets to ask people what they thought of panhandling in downtown Bloomington. We aired this audio on the August 18th edition of the Daily Local News.
It depends on the kind of person, I guess. I've seen a lot of people who, like, obviously just are going to go use the money for something like cigarettes. And there's a lot of, I actually, walking down Bloomington, I've had people tell me, like, can I have $2 for cigarettes? And, like, obviously you wouldn't give them that, but, like, the people you know who actually need it, like, I respect them.
Usually I never give money. I'll usually buy a sandwich and give it to them, something like that instead.
People get down on their luck, and as a society, we should be helping those people in some way, shape, or form, but what we want to do is we want to help them and give them basic needs things beyond just money.
We walk a lot, and I really feel uncomfortable every time I go by because they say things to you, and they're not supposed to. If they want to sit there, I think that's fine, but I don't think they should be able to stick it in your face or make a comment when you walk by.
I feel so sorry for them, but yet you feel guilty, and then they get a little aggressive. So I'm kind of in between, I guess.
Well, I mean, I've never done it myself. I mean, I know the new law is, you know, the chief of police went on the radio and said not to give money to the homeless anymore. I think instead of trying to run the homeless out, they should be helping them out more than just trying to push them away and look like, you know, we live in a homeless shelter, the Martha House, so we're not on the streets. But if I was, I'd want somebody to help me and not step on me.
Yeah, it's super annoying because the homeless people always pander me when I want to go to the bar and I don't want to give them my money.
That segment from Voices in the Street ran on August 18th. While many Bloomington residents have been vocal about their opinions concerning the downtown and about the announced crackdown on panhandlers, another person, or persons, demonstrated dissent in a quieter but still coherent fashion. This story aired on the Daily Local News on October 13th.
It's been less than a week since the city of Bloomington raised signs discouraging the exchange of aid directly between individuals on the street. And since then, 24 of the 28 signs erected have been reported missing by the city. Bloomington's communications director, Mary Catherine Carmichael, says the city is unsure exactly how the signs came down. The placards were purchased from a vendor at a cost of roughly $29 each. The city is following a trend that, according to Carmichael, is developing across the nation.
Several other communities across the country are doing similar signage, and we designed our own with a kind of the message that we wanted to give. But yes, it is something that's happening in several communities across the country.
The stolen signs were part of a new effort by the city. The Bloomington Gives Project, as it is called, partners the city with what they deem legitimate local organizations whose missions align with the project's goals of eliminating homelessness in Monroe County. Such agencies include Centerstone, the Community Kitchen, Life Designs, and the Interfaith Winter Shelter, among others. Carmichael reportedly told the Herald Times that several businesses in the area have external surveillance systems that may have captured footage of whoever took the signs.
That was a report from October 13th. You're listening to the top stories of 2016 on WFHB, and we're at number one on our countdown. What's wrong with downtown Bloomington? We're taking a look back at the many ways Bloomington officials and residents have talked about and acted on issues in the downtown area during the past 12 months. As debate continued surrounding what the mayor called a safety and civility initiative, one social media campaign regarding People's Park got considerable attention, both positive and negative. We spoke with visitors to the park and brought listeners this segment on October 13th. It's introduced by Voices in the Street producer Kelly Worley.
Recently, an IU senior established an online petition about People's Park, stating that people experiencing homelessness have, quote, decided to make this park their home, starting fights, doing drugs, setting one another's belongings on fire, and causing raucous 24/7, end quote. Voices in the Street hit People's Park to speak with your friends and neighbors about what they think about People's Park and how it could be improved.
You know what needs to change about People's Park is the idiots in this park. And I'm not talking about just homeless people. There's college kids, too, that come over here and break glass and trash this park. It's not just homeless. It's college kids, too. This is everybody's park. Homeless, college students, families. It's for everybody.
As far as the petition that's going around, I don't agree with it. I mean, this park is not just for us that hang out here that are homeless because we have no other place to go, but this is for everybody. But the thing is me, my buddy Leprechaun, and very few friends that we know respect us and know who we are and know what we're about, and we're about respecting the whole community. Anybody want to come to People's Park can come to People's Park. That's why it's called People's Park. It's not my park. It's not Rick's park. It's not Leprechaun's park. It's not John's park. It's not Tim's park. It's People's Park.
Well, honestly, I think that people here, they deserve to do the best they can. You know, people in Bloomington that go to IU and everything, I don't think they need to be rude to us or anything like they usually are.
I think some things need to change. I think people need to be more responsible for, like, their trash and stuff. Like, they don't bother to pick it up. We're out here homeless living in the park, but you can't even pick up the park. No wonder you're homeless. What'd your house look like? And whenever I felt I didn't have family or anybody else I could call on, you know, it's a lot harder to dig yourself out of the hole when you're doing it by yourself. Yeah, there's community resources, but it's hard to, you know, get into them because there's so many people needing them. There's only so many places at the shelter. They don't have winter shelter or, you know, overnight shelters all year long. They have one shelter for men and women, and there's only so many beds, and there's X many number of homeless people.
A lot of people, when they walk by, they look at all of us in the park, and they want to run away. It's not the fact that, you know, you didn't wake up one morning and want to become homeless. We all come to the park, you know, we all try to treat the park as like it was our own backyard.
I think something should change. Maybe they could just leave us be. That'd be cool.
They need to quit trashing the place, because I'm homeless myself. And I come down here every morning and help them clean up. I mean, I'm an alcoholic, but I can find a trash can.
WFHB aired those interviews on October 13th. By that time, the Community Justice and Mediation Center had already begun what was called the Downtown Safety and Civility Dialogue and Deliberation Project at the request of the mayor. Like many elements of this larger story about the downtown, the project became controversial. The Daily Local News aired this story about a heated public input meeting on December 5th.
The attempts by the Community Justice and Mediation Center, or CJAM, to conduct a public hearing on the Downtown Safety and Civility Initiative on Saturday were temporarily disrupted by protesters who took issue with the process and those involved. About 15 minutes into opening comments, Nikki Borowski, co-owner of the Backdoor Nightclub, stood up to lead a group called the Equity Collective in reading a statement of protest. Interrupting the speaker, the group complained some individuals who were homeless and living in poverty wanted to be part of the discussion, but were not able to attend because there wasn't enough advance notice given. Here's an excerpt of the interaction between Borowski and one of the event's organizers, Lisa Marie Napoli. The group went on to read a two-page statement leveraging a number of complaints, including the accusation the initiative has ignored the root causes of poverty, addiction, and homelessness.
We demand that this meeting be adjourned immediately and rescheduled for a later date, and that at least 2 weeks' notice, as well as ample publicity, be given in order to allow members of the public to arrange to attend and to prepare.
We assert that the task force is neither representative of the larger Bloomington community, nor is it objective. As a body, the task force has a vested interest in maintaining control and further gentrifying downtown Bloomington. The overwhelming majority of individuals named in the task force and its staff, among them a business attorney, your chair, a business promoter, a real estate banker, a land developer, and the chief of police, all stand to gain financially from the prospect of increased policing. We find it highly unlikely that a median income of the task force members is anywhere near Bloomington's median income of $28,000, or that a single member is among the 39%, whopping 39% of Bloomington residents who live below the poverty level, which is currently defined as $11,770 for an individual. Unlike so many Bloomington residents, these members of the task force do not have to navigate the complexities of poverty and socioeconomic insecurity in their daily lives.
Borowski and the Equity Collective voiced six demands in all, including that the task force be immediately dismantled. The collective wants to see a new, more diverse task force created that would have at least half its membership come from those who live daily with homelessness, poverty, mental health issues, and/or addiction. The public input sessions eventually got underway. It was the third stage of a three-stage process developed by CJAM called the Downtown Safety and Civility Dialogue and Deliberation Project. In a previous stage of the project, stakeholder groups or focus groups had developed a list of action ideas to address a broad range of issues, including housing, education, mental health, addiction and abuse, detox services, and policing. In this third stage, those same topics were up for examination by the broader community. The ideas of establishing a work release program and constructing a public bathroom downtown were also given time for discussion. At the end of the community discussion on Saturday, attendees were given a chance to make final comments. Some were encouraged by the community coming together to share ideas. Others expressed concern about the homeless population being referred to as a nuisance and said that a greater effort needs to be made to ensure more people from the street are receiving the services they need. Still, others expressed doubt the initiative would actually lead to solutions. Their doubt was rooted in the fact that when the mayor announced the Downtown Safety and Civility Initiative in August, decisions had already been made to increase policing, to enforce panhandling laws more strictly, and to increase surveillance in public parks. Reporting for WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.
You've been listening to the top stories of 2016 on WFHB. Today was number one on our countdown, What's Wrong with Downtown Bloomington? We've been taking a look back at the many ways Bloomington officials and residents have talked about and acted on issues in the downtown area. The Daily Local News returns on Monday, January 9th. The news now begins at 5 p.m., Monday through Thursday, followed at 5:30 by our local specialty shows. The Top Stories of 2016 is a production of the WFHB News Department. I produced today's episode. Joshua Fleck and Sarah Vaughn contributed to today's reports. For WFHB, I'm Joe Crawford.